They came towards me. They had been waiting for me in this house. But it wasn't just my parents, there were other acquaintances and friends there too. They also came towards me, welcomed me and wished me luck. And my mother said to me somewhat quietly, "First we'll talk about the harvest. We'll see each other again later." I asked my mother, "Stay here, don't go away, I'm scared." And I asked my father too, "Stay here. You can help me, I'm scared." And then a figure I didn't recognize said, "Are you scared? Why are you scared? Who are you scared of?" "I'm just scared, I don't feel comfortable. Everything is so strange here." And then another figure, who was a complete stranger to me, said, "Come now, let's talk about the harvest you brought with you." They wanted to talk about the harvest, and I thought quietly whether they meant spiritual wealth, whether they were talking about the merits that one should have acquired for this other world, whether they meant this harvest. They seemed to be able to read my thoughts, and so they said, "That's exactly it, we're talking to you about this harvest." I was amazed at the wonderful appearance of these figures. They were dressed so colorfully and they had wonderful jewelry on them. This jewelry was mainly woven into the clothes or pressed into them, worked into them in some way, I couldn't figure out how. Around their arms and around their heads they had bracelets with stones, very precious stones, it seemed to me. And the whole thing had also aroused a certain respect for them in me. They looked so sublime, so noble. And the whole thing was just a little uncomfortable for me, that's why I got scared. But then they said, "You don't need to be afraid of us." But it was precisely their appearance that had worried me, because I recognized a certain power in these figures' appearance. I realized that they could be part of the authorities in this new world and could have a very important say. I then quickly thought about my earthly possessions that I had left behind. I looked at myself, what I looked like, I couldn't see anything particularly pleasant. As far as I knew, I was wearing a grayish garment, it covered me from the neck to the floor. I was tightly wrapped in it and couldn't really tell what kind of garment it was. But I could feel my hands, my body. And so I considered whether it might be possible to change this appearance, to get a different garment, because I didn't like this one. And in a flash I thought, if they express such grandeur through their special appearance, I could take the clothes I left behind with me and put them on, then I would certainly look better. And I also wanted to put on the jewelry I had, so that I could also look dignified. I thought about that. My thoughts were quickly understood. But as I saw, they were smiling meaningfully at each other, as if they only wanted to express, let her, if she thinks she can achieve that. Then one of them started talking to me very eagerly, and my fear actually grew more and more. "What have you brought home?" he asked very energetically. I hardly knew how to answer. What had I brought home? Nothing, nothing had I brought home, I didn't like myself. I didn't know what they meant. And I replied to them, "Yes, I had some property, but I had to leave it behind." They answered me, "We are not talking about the perishable. What you left behind is all dedicated to the perishable. That does not interest us. We are interested in what is imperishable. Have you done such works? That is the harvest. We would like to talk to you about that harvest." And I had to think about it. Something imperishable? What had I done that was imperishable? I did not know how to answer. I also did good works, I told them, but they did not seem to be satisfied with that. And I became more and more afraid and could hardly speak anymore, because they seemed to become more and more energetic and asked more and more energetically what I had brought over, and I did not know the answer. And when I was so desperate, a figure suddenly came towards me and I immediately recognized, this figure is well disposed towards me. She had a smile on her lips and raised her hands as if to signal that the others should be quiet for a while. This extremely beautiful figure stood next to me and I began to breathe a sigh of relief, yes, really, because I felt freer. I found, finally I have received help, finally someone is standing up for me. Suddenly I felt protected by the presence of this being who had joined me. Now this being spoke of my life, of my mistakes and of what I had done well and of my merits. And this being seemed to talk less about mistakes and more about good works. So I soon saw that I had a defender. Now and then someone would say a word and raise an objection, but this being continued to talk and thus seemed to gain power. Then these figures, who had first asked about the harvest and had spoken to me more and more sternly, suddenly became more lenient and their faces became friendlier. What a surprise and what joy for me! And the fear gradually faded. No one asked me anything anymore. Now the two sides, these stern beings and my defender, I call him that now, began to talk to each other and talk about my life. And so there was a back and forth. Then they seemed to agree about my future. I was no longer able to understand the words they were speaking. I didn't understand anything about a spiritual order, about its laws, everything they were saying about reparation, about being reborn, about karma, about purification and the like was foreign to me. I knew nothing about it, I couldn't say anything in response to them, and I was also quiet as a precaution. So my defender had acted on my behalf. Then these figures went away and I was now standing there with my defender. I had to thank him. I knelt down, kissed his hands and thanked him for freeing me and helping me. And lovingly this being stood there, lifted me up, spoke to me with encouragement and comfort, and said, "Yes, you have already done a lot wrong in your life, and your harvest is not particularly great. You will have to make up for a lot." And so this Spirit of God spoke lovingly to me and admonished me to be very obedient in the future. He said that I was now being given a certain amount of time to adjust. During this time I could rest a little, I could sleep. But I could also look at the whole surroundings and admire this new world, establish connections with other spirit brothers and sisters who were nearby or with whom I would have to live together in the future, so I had the opportunity to do this. I also had another possibility, and that was, I could, if I wanted to, return to the house in which I had lived. But this was actually not advisable at all, because if one returns to the old place, one only stops one's own ascent. But it is in God's will and in the law that anyone who now has this desire to return can do so. "But he does not recommend this to me," said my defense attorney, "but advises me to do what he has just said. He would then have to examine me himself to see how I feel about this new world and whether I am willing to follow these instructions. He has now done what he was allowed to do for me. He is an intercessor angel, and every returning home person would receive such support if they had not burdened themselves too much in a human life. But if the burdens on a returning person are too great, then these intercessor angels cannot do anything at first, they will come to the fore later. So I was lucky to have this intercessor angel. Of course I was very interested in this new world. And my companion, my defender, said goodbye to me and promised to check on me from time to time. Now I knew, I have truly died, I live in another world, I have left my earthly body behind. Now my parents were still there and they promised that they would inquire about me and give me support. But at the moment I was actually less interested in this new world I had entered than in what my relatives had done after my death, whether all the objects were still in my house, what had happened to my clothes, what they had done with my jewelry. That interested me more and I thought, if I have the opportunity to go back, as I was told, I want to take that opportunity. I can then stay in this new world long enough later. And so I did not resist and gave in to the urge. So I went back into the house and found everything as it had been when I was alive. I now thought again quickly as I had at the beginning when I had seen these beautiful figures, who were so beautifully dressed, who in their clothes, such precious stones woven or worked into it, whether it might not be possible to put on another garment and take the jewelry with me. I wanted to give myself a better, more elegant look. I opened the closet and pulled out a dress that I thought would suit me well. I pulled this dress over myself and I quickly took out the jewelry. It was still in the same place. I put everything on because I wanted to take everything with me, but the dress seemed a bit strange to me because I couldn't get rid of my old garment. So I put my earthly garment, which I had worn during my life, over my spiritual garment in the hope that it would dissolve or that I could then remove it. But I couldn't do it, even with the best will in the world. But I had the hope that it would happen. I wanted to get rid of this wide skirt at all costs. Now I looked around the house, but actually that didn't interest me much. I wanted to adapt to the new world, and I now had what I wanted, but unfortunately I couldn't take more than a pair of clothes with me. And so I went back into the other world, into the house where I was supposed to live. I only had to think about it and imagine this house. I didn't know how it happened in a flash, and then I was back in that other world and in this house. I thought about how that could happen, but that didn't interest me anymore. I just wanted to look different. I wanted the others to admire me. And so I came back into the house. Then I saw that my mother, my father and some of my acquaintances and friends were waiting for me. When they saw me, they expressed their great amazement and said, "What have you done? What do you look like? Quickly take off this coat." And then they looked at my arms and my hands, my neck, and my mother said, "What kind of rusty stuff have you put on?" "What?" I replied disappointedly, "don't you know it? Can't you remember that I had it?" "Oh, it's all rusty, just look at it. You're making a fool of yourself with it, along with the robe you've put on." I didn't want to believe it, but then I took a closer look at this stuff, as it was called. And they drew my attention to the rust and said, "Try to wipe away this rust, as thick as it is." And truly, I rubbed it with my fingers, and it was all rust. Then I asked my mother, "How is that possible? It wasn't full of rust, it was precious." And she said, "Yes, it was precious to the world. But it is something that is fleeting, that doesn't count for us, that is meaningless in our world. You can't take any of it with you. Take off this rusty stuff." And I wanted to get rid of it. But I couldn't manage it, I couldn't get rid of it. I wanted to take off my skirt too, but that didn't work either, everything seemed to be sticking to me. My mother was disappointed, and my father and all my friends said, "We should be ashamed of what you did. Now you have been given help, you had such a good, helpful angel who stood up for you. And you haven't yet realized what it's all about. You are truly a stranger to this spiritual world." Then they asked me to return everything as quickly as possible and to come back as soon as possible. Yes, it didn't take much determination. I really wanted to get rid of this stuff, as they called it. And I went back to my old house. When I got close to the closet from which I had taken the dress, I was suddenly able to take it off. It was no longer sticking to me. The jewelry, the chains and rings and everything I had taken with me, all of that was still in the drawers, but I had put the rusty part on myself. Now I simply stripped it off and got rid of it. And then I was back to how I was before. I had removed everything. My dress and what I had believed to be valuable and to give me prestige had put me in such a light that everyone was horrified and said it was just rust. So I didn't want to know anything more about it. So I returned to the spiritual world, back to the house of my relatives. They welcomed me with joy and said, "Yes, it is better now, and let us hope," said my mother, "that you have learned a lesson from it. So you should know, what is human property is of no value to us. We ask about other possessions. We ask about the love that we have given to our fellow human beings in life. These are spiritual goods, they are part of the harvest, they cannot be seen with the human eye, but that is very precious. It is the readiness to help, it is modesty, humility, it is loyalty, kindness." And so they began to list them. These are all spiritual goods. But in human life this has as little value as the earthly goods of man have little value for us. People want to have the tangible, they want to possess wealth. They try to stand out with their egoism, with their desire for power. These are burdens. That is what you have to learn to overcome after you return home. You have to get rid of it. And these vices that you had in life stick to your entire spiritual body and are deeply rooted in your soul, and it takes a long time to get rid of such thinking. Yes, It slowly became clear to me that you had to turn away from that world, and I was still looking for my spiritual wealth, but it really did not seem to be particularly great. Then my parents and friends stayed with me for a while, but they had to go back to their place and their work. They also reminded me that I had to do my work. Well, I then turned to a being who, as it seemed to me, distributed the work to all those beings who had recently come into this world. And I was also given a job. It consisted of tending large fields and meadows and gardens. First of all, I had to plant a large piece of spiritual earth, I must emphasize this, with spiritual grass. And that was done in such a way that only small areas of spiritual grass had to be laid on this earth. I was shown a certain field that I had to work on. I had a large basket next to me, and in it were small areas of spiritual grass, and I was supposed to lay them down on this earth and press them in, exactly as I had been instructed. However, the whole area did not have to be covered in this way. I was only supposed to press in such spots at certain intervals. I did not know how long I had to do this, because I no longer had a concept of time. But I could observe that these small patches of grass that were placed on the spiritual earth immediately began to grow and develop. In a short time it grew so wonderfully that it became a beautiful green area. So I had to carry out my work as I was told. Then everything that I had done was examined. I was alone in the area that had been divided up for me to plant. When I had finished, another being that was strange to me came and said, "Now we are going to fence in this area. We have to put a fence around it." Then I asked, "Yes, why do we have to do that?" I thought that in this new world there were no borders and that there was no need to build a fence. "What do you want to bring in here?" And they said to me, "You will see that soon." So I was allowed to watch. I saw some strange figures, and when I speak of strange figures, I mean angels of God or ascending spirit brothers and sisters. Then a noise could be heard, and this noise seemed so familiar to me. A large group of dogs came, big and small, and these dogs made noise in their own way. They were now led into this fence. They were literally driven into this area, and the gate was closed. I couldn't count them, there were so many. But I had loved dogs when I was alive, and I was happy that they had such a nice lawn. Some of them lay down while some of the young ones, it seems to me, were wrestling. But there were also guards among these animals who kept order. There were also older animals there. As I judged from my own experience, they seemed tired, but they lay down very happily. It was also a wonderful climate. And I was happy to see animals in this new world and so many animals. Of course I had questions about it. Who cares for these animals? Who takes care of an animal like that? Or do they have to stay penned up like that? That had bothered me a bit. And when I returned to my house I had the opportunity to talk to spiritual teachers. Well, it took a long time until this experience or this event happened. According to your terms, it didn't happen as quickly as you think, and I can't put the time in years and days. I can only say that it took several years until then, and I had to do various other activities during the time before I had this experience. But then we always had the opportunity to be taught about things that we didn't understand. In the first period after my return home, I was not so interested in this new world, in its order and laws. For example, I was not interested in why I had to wear my robe, since I could not take off the garment I had brought from my former house on earth in the new world, but could take it off again in the place where I had brought it, or why the jewelry was still there even though I had put it on my arms and around my neck. That had not bothered me at the time. But later I thought about these things and I had to realize that this new world really did have its laws and its order. And so I asked my teacher, who was available not only to me but also to everyone else in this house, why could I not get rid of my lavish dress? And why could I put on a garment in my earthly house that belonged to me, that I had worn in life? Then he said to me, "You only put on the garment, you were not able to take the earthly matter with you, but only the that was on the garment from your body, that you had radiated from yourself and that was still in or on this garment. It was only the ad that had been on you, it was not the earthly garment. I had determined that when I came back, the garment was back in the closet, and yet I had it on my body. So it was the ad garment that I had taken off this garment. And then, back in this earthly environment, I had been able to take this ad garment off again. I was able to do this because this ad was connected with the earthly currents, with the earthly waves or with the earthly power. I had therefore come back into this current where this ad had been built up, and so I was able to get rid of it again. It was the same with the jewelry that I thought I had taken with me. I had only taken the odic form from it. I had worn this jewelry during my lifetime, and it had already been covered by the ad of my body when I first wore it. It already had my odic power on it, which enveloped this object. And it was only this odic power, the odic form, that I then took from it as a spirit being. There, material, gold, the chains and the like, remained behind. It was earthly matter that I could not take as a spirit. I could only take the ad that I had once clothed it in myself. And the fact that this had appeared in this rusty form was possible precisely because I had escaped this earthly world and entered another atmosphere. This other atmosphere then expressed this form in such a poor way, as a sign that these earthly objects, this so solidly formed matter, are completely meaningless in the new world, that they are nothing but rust, something that should be thrown away, that would be destroyed over time. That was the answer I was given, along with the instruction that people transfer their odic power from their bodies and hands to every object they touch, and that clairvoyant people or spirit beings can therefore see the entire past that is attached to objects. The entire experience through centuries. The past remains attached to every object through the touch of people. But even without the touch of people's hands, past events remain. What happened in a place can be seen on the objects present there. Be it a tree, a rock or whatever it may be, the experience is recorded in these objects. That is something wonderful. Some people call it the conscience of God, the language of God. The events of the world, it can be interpreted in different ways. That is how I was told about it when I later asked about these things. I then wanted to know what was going on with these dogs, why they had to live so tightly packed together. And then it was explained to me, it is the case that every living creature in this earthly world continues to exist after its death in the same form as it had on earth, and so does an animal, whether in this or that form. It was explained to me that animals of the same species are brought together and that when such an animal dies, there is also spiritual guidance. It is a false belief among people that if you kill the animal, nothing of it remains. An animal cannot be alive on earth if it does not have the living spark of life in it. A dead animal is doomed to transience. You cannot keep it any longer. It can only be alive, healthy and powerful, if the soul is active within it. So the soul can escape from the body of the animal, and the soul continues to exist. And so this animal will also take its odic body with it into the eternal world, where this animal will also progress through its development. That is how it was explained to me that these dogs in the same form or in the same appearance as during their earthly life now continue to exist in the spiritual realm, but only for a certain time. Because I noticed that these guards kept walking back and forth among these animals and giving others the order to lead certain animals out that they had designated. So this and that animal was led out of this enclosure. These were the animals, as I was told, that were now so far developed or advanced that they could move towards further spiritual ascension. These animals were now to be integrated into a higher level, and all of this was to happen under the divine order, according to God's law. So they explained these things to me and said, this is how every being, every life will go through its ascension, and each will have to go through its own path. And of course they also pointed to me and told me that my work could be more beautiful as I progressed, as I ascended. So it was not to be my only occupation to do what I have explained to you. I was also to practice the divine virtues. They were to be applied and presented by bringing the kingdom of God to the earth and also into the depths to other beings. This means that the goodness of God, understanding and mercy should be able to take root and develop everywhere, The kingdom of God must therefore be carried everywhere. It was made clear to me that the greater zeal I express, the faster I can ascend. So one has one's occupation that one must do, and in addition to this one can acquire so much more to speed up this ascent. I did this too, I saw the need for it, I showed myself willing, was obedient. And so after that experience, after that activity, I was allowed to ascend and can now do a beautiful work of an artistic nature that gives me great joy. I may carry out this activity for my own joy and happiness and can thereby do the whole of heaven a favor by always helping to realize the beauties of heaven. For heaven must always be changed in its form, for this redesign must always trigger new amazement and admiration in those who ascend and in those who live in it. They should always admire this heaven in its great diversity, they should admire the talents, the artistic achievements of their fellow brothers and sisters. They should admire God Himself in His infinity, in His goodness, for all ability, all creation comes from God's will. This is how one then experiences this heaven and these bliss. The highest authority, and by that I mean God, Christ and all the high spirits of heaven, contributes to the development of creation, and they themselves admire the activity that these ascending spirits can now accomplish. But all strength comes from God. These creative achievements of an artistic nature can only be carried out if God gives His blessing. Now I have explained a few things to you and hope that you have understood them. I am told that the time has advanced so far and after me our brother Joseph will no longer come to answer questions. I must pronounce the blessing over you. You shall be guarded and protected from hardship, from all danger. You shall live and work under God's blessing. Greetings from God. Report of the ascending spirit being freed by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Headline, next case. May 3, 1967. Karen's wonderful home, thanks to her meritorious life. How those who have returned home can choose their heavenly reward, according to their merits and virtues. The greeting and blessing of the controlling spirit are not preserved. Karen, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Karen. In my human life I cared for the sick. But I don't want to talk about life on earth now, but rather about the new world that I have lived in since my earthly death. I will try to describe this world to you as best I can. I would like to add, however, that in my earthly life I cared for the sick and remained single. When I was allowed to open my spiritual eyes in this other world, I was very astonished by what I saw. As a human being, I believed in life after death and had imagined heaven according to human imagination. But I had not imagined it as I experienced it. I was just particularly amazed that I was received so warmly and that I was allowed to live in such a beautiful place in such a huge, magnificent house. The whole thing made a big impression on me. So I will now try to describe to you how I experienced this world. First, I was greeted by my relatives who had gone home earlier. After that, I had not seen them for a long time. I had not longed for them or asked about them, because all the new things that I encountered here impressed me so much that I completely forgot about them. When I was led to this beautiful place, the first thing I saw was this huge, beautiful building. I was told that I would live in it and that I would have my duties there. Now I would like to describe this beautiful building and its very close proximity to you, because there was nothing like it in my earthly life. This mighty building is higher than the highest building in your city, Zurich, and it is also very wide. Its width is, in your terms, like from one street to the other. It is not built in a straight line like your houses, and not as even either. From the outside it looks like a mighty rock that contains many apartments. I cannot tell you the number of floors. The top ones protrude a little, like a terrace, the whole thing looks so huge. From the outside, the building is not built stone on stone, but rather it is a rock, with the only difference being that it has large windows. From above you have a view of the street as well as the large, open space in front of the house, and you are amazed at everything that is going on there. Dear brothers and sisters, I hardly think you can imagine in your mind the wonderful location of my residence. I can hardly describe it all to you in your language.